Share prices on this Tuesday move higher even after the trade deficit widens.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. With oil prices generally down, ticking at around $93.50 a barrel to start the morning, America's trade deficit didn't grow quite as much as expected. New figures today also show that exports at a four-month high. This is feeding into a positive vibe that started the day on Wall Street. On Tuesdays, we talked to Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
You know, on the left part of my brain here, I got a pile of data that should dampen investor enthusiasm. I mean, look at factories in China and the U.S. You saw those surveys showing that manufacturing is not exactly raging ahead.
Well, we're looking at the victory of hope over the economic numbers, and that's what the market is really focusing on. Bad news is good, because the Fed won't start to taper off purchases slowly and pulling back monetary stimulus until they see really good economic data. And that's not what they're seeing. So the market is rallying because we're going to have cheap money to eternity.
Cheap money to eternity, but still, there have been an adjustment with interest rates on the anticipation that maybe not as much cheap money, and mortgage rates have been rising. Still fairly vibrant, though, in the real estate market?
Well, a 4% mortgage rate is not an economy killer. In fact, historically, that's a very low interest rate. And you still have pricing coming in off the bottom, but you're still not back to 2006 levels. So the housing market is still very affordable. And those who can buy are starting to buy here. That's giving a lot of hope to the economy. But again, you're looking at how strong the consumer is going to be in the future here. So you have to look at the housing market as being a seasonal thing. It's summer. Anybody who's going to move is moving. And then it's over, folks.
Julie Nieman, Smith Moore & Company, St. Louis, thank you so much.
You bet.
And there are still people who are still too nervous to buy their first house, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Kirk Oley and Abby Thayer Oley are typical of many first-time homebuyers. Around 40 with professional jobs surrounded by half-built IKEA furniture.
This is a heaven and then bathroom, vanity, and sink.
And in the nursery of their renovated 1915 bungalow, the newest member of the family. Abby and Kirk got their new house for $330,000 in a bidding war, more than they'd budgeted.
But, you know, at this point, we have a baby. We can't keep renting and moving every couple of years. We just had to take the plunge.
The financial logic was compelling. Their rent kept going up, and with a 3.5% mortgage, they're saving several hundred a month.
Our jobs, I think, are about as stable as anyone's in this economy.
We had both been laid off in 2009, but all that time we're sitting on a down payment. I was thinking, let's stop renting and making improvements to different homes, and she was cautious about, let's wait till we hit the bottom of the market.
They actually missed the bottom. And you'd think now that home prices are clearly heading up, more first-time buyers would jump in. Not so far, says Chris Mayer at Columbia University.
The number of people who are worried about housing tying them down is probably higher today than it has been in the past.
Well, we have just seen a massive erasure of middle-class housing wealth. But it's probably more than that, says Mayer.
The fact that the labor market seems much less stable has got to have an impact on people's decision-making, whether to buy or to rent.
Who wants to own in Phoenix if that great new job is in Austin and they want you there yesterday? Mayer says 4 out of 5 adults still want the American dream of home ownership. But having lived through the housing crash, saddled with student debt, the younger generation may take a little longer to grab that dream. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
After a long battle between New York City and its teachers union, the state of New York has stepped in with a new grading system for teachers. Sally Herships reports.
This story isn't supposed to be about standardized tests, but when you evaluate teachers, it often means testing students. Even kindergartners in gym class in Ohio are now getting tested.
But on questions like, when you hop, you land on the same foot, And when you skip, you move one leg and then the other. True or false?
Bob Schaefer works with advocacy group Fair Test. He says standardized testing is known to be ineffective.
If the goal of a physical education test is to teach sports skills and lifelong exercise interests, how do you create a pencil and paper test that measures that?
Sandy Jacobs works with the National Council on Teacher Quality. She says not all the new evaluation methods in New York will rely on standardized testing. Unlike Schaefer, she says the tests can be helpful.
The idea that a teacher wants to assess where her students are is central to education.
Both Jacobs and Schaefer do agree on one thing. More schools around the country are evaluating more teachers, which will probably mean more tests for students. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And the longest German word is no more. A law in the German state of Mecklenburg-Western Pomerania about beef labeling is getting an overhaul, so gone is its enormous title. Let me try it here. Rindfleischetikettierungsüber... I can't. You try it, Joy Wang, Marketplace intern.
What
we need is a native German speaker here. BBC producer Eric Graydon.
Rindfleischetikettierungsüberwachungsaufgabenübertragungsgesetz.
Ooh, faster now, Eric.
Rindfleischetikettierungsüberwachungsaufgabenübertragungsgesetz.
He's just showing off now. With this 65-letter word erased from the law books, there's still a 49-letter German beauty that translates to widow of a Danube steamboat company captain. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.